better the children, the adults as well. All right, we can give them a big, big, wonderful hand. Okay, which is, I think, all right, so important what God has done in all their hearts and all their lives indeed. Okay, in a wonderful, wonderful manner. All right, okay. Say to your neighbor, have the lights on. Say to your neighbor, I see signs, wonders, and miracles in your life. Would you do that? Okay. Why? Because you have looked 5 years younger as a result of the songs and dance and the rocks. Okay, isn't it? All right, it's so important, okay, for all of us, okay, in this regard, right, as we come to the Lord in a wonderful way, as we seek the Lord's face in a wonderful, powerful manner. Can we have a bit more lights on, all right, okay, so I see your face, okay, so that I'm not preaching in the dark, and hopefully you can see my face as well in some ways like this. No, friends, signs, wonders, miracles have happened to me in my life just last week, because just last Sunday I came from Nepal. Okay, I decided to scale the heights of Mount Annapurna with my son Matthew, who is also here this morning, okay, and the whole family here. And you know, Mount Annapurna, okay, can we have the thing on? Mount Annapurna is the 10th highest peak in the whole world. In fact, 8 of the 10 highest peaks, okay, in the world are all found in Nepal, the other 2 in Pakistan, really. And so on your left is Mount Annapurna. On the right is Fishtail, okay? That's the kind of height that that it was taken from a guest house right across from my room like this, okay? And then we went closer to it, and that's what it is. That's what it looks like this. And by the grace of God, really by the grace of God, it says signs and wonders happen even to someone at this age. They say something louder to encourage me, okay? The signs and wonders can do happen to somebody. This is coming inching slow to 70 years old, okay? And that's what it was, okay? Not Mount Annapurna, of course, okay? The base camp of Mount Annapurna, that is enough, okay? That is grilling enough. That is killing enough, friends, you know, to reach there, that kind of height like this, okay, for us. And so here's how it looks like there, the base camp, 4,130 meters high, which is roughly close to 14,000 feet, okay? Okay, above sea level like this. And the amazing thing, friends, at that height, there was actually a Malaysian flag. Don't know who planted it there. But I believe, friends, you know what? I believe God, by His mercies and grace, had it planted there just for Matthew and me to raise it up. Why? Because Malaysia needs a new day, a new dawn, a new beginning, okay, for our land, for our nation. It's so important for all of us. So I believe, friends, God has taken us there just to raise Malaysia all over again and to declare the praises, the glory of God, and that truly indeed a new dawn, a new day will come upon Malaysia. And all those who agree, say, amen. Amen. And thank God we got finally a new prime minister in this lady here. Okay, thank God. There is hope in the future for Malaysia, isn't it? Even though none of you want to be prime minister, here is this lady wanting to be prime minister. So friends, you know, this is amazing as we go into this next few weeks that is so crucial and critical for all of us Malaysians, isn't it? So, so very, very important when we come to this juncture of the history of our nation, friends. It is going to either make or break Malaysia. And all those agree, say. And that's the reason why, friends, as always in the life of GMC, when it comes to a time like this, we always organize special talks to deal with the issues at hand like this, to deal with the issues about a general election that is upcoming. And so, church, I want you to take note, pass the word on to as many people as possible, because next Sunday itself, what happens is Professor Dato Dr. Denison Jayasuriya, now his professor actually of UKM, just been awarded that wonderful one to distinguished honor like this. And so what happens is he's a member of the church here, and so he's going to speak on the whole area of manifestos of Barisan and Pakatan. Hello, are you there? So come and listen, pass it on to as many people, other churches, whoever they may be, non-Christians, get them along to come. Because I think Denison has, Dr. Denison has an incisive mind to look into these kind of things and tease it apart and shares with us, therefore, what are the implications for us all in our land, in our nation? Because I believe on the day of the elections, Dr. Denison will be on television, okay, commenting about the things happening in our nation like this with regards to the general elections. And so, friends, come next Sunday, okay, after worship celebration here. And then on May the 2nd, what happens is that we're going to have a panel discussion whereby we're going to put the candidates, some of the candidates standing for elections up here on the platform. And this is a time to grill them, to toast them, and to roast them. No. We UMC people are very nice people. Can I good amen for that? We're going to treat them well, treat them dignity, respect. I know some of you were heckling and booing. Please don't do that in UMC. Is it okay? All right, very, very important. So come, okay, for that very special discussion on a Wednesday night, 2nd of May, like this, okay, and we're going to interact, talk, we're going to ask them questions, and we pray that it will be a rich and a meaningful time as well. We field questions to some of these candidates standing for elections, okay, which is, I think, so very, very important. Had a joy, privilege interacting with one recent who just came to see me. A new candidate has been set aside, okay, to stand for election. And so it's just wonderful to see what God is doing in the heart and the lives of these people like this. And then finally, post-election, as always, we do analysis, all right, May the 13th, okay? Again, after celebration, probably wherever it may be here in Dream Center, we're going to have a post-election analysis. So some of us, okay, will be involved in looking at the whole thing and see what is it like, what's the implication and the need for you and I, friends, to continue to be praying for Malaysia. Get a good amen for that. We need to continue to be ever vigilant. It's not just the day of the voting, everything is over. We need to be vigilant all the way to the end and keep on praying for them and hold them accountable, transparent, responsible in all the things that they do. Amen, isn't it? And so therefore, it is very, very important for you and I, therefore, in this regard, to continue to be concerned about the affairs of our nation. And therefore, church, can I ask you to stand to pray, isn't it? Right? Because what our prayers, we want to believe that God will use our prayers to begin to bring change and transformation to our land and our nation, isn't it? It's so very, very important. So friends, let's pray. Some of you should volunteer as pachas, okay, polling and counting agents. Others of you should volunteer as observers, monitors of the election, and do all that is needful to ensure that it will be a free, fair, and a just election. Can you good amen for that? It's very, very important, friends. So volunteer yourself. Go wherever around the country and make yourselves available, friends, to serve, because there are great, great needs around to ensure that the election is free and fair and transparent, okay? So that people who are really voted in will really be voted in a fair and just manner. There's no fraud whatsoever involved like this. Amen? Come, let's all lift our voices aloud together, okay? Come, let's pray. Our Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we thank you, we praise you for your mercies, your grace, your goodness towards us, oh God. That each one of us, our Father, is a trophy of your grace, oh God. That each one of us, our Father, indeed is a sign and a wonder you've done in our hearts, in our lives. We bless and we praise, we worship, we adore you, Father, for all of these, oh God. We want to truly magnify your holy name, Father. We thank you, Lord. You are our Lord, our God. We celebrate, oh God, your grace, your goodness upon our nation, Malaysia. You have so blessed us and this nation for so many, many years, oh God. We know the challenges, our Father. We know we lost our way, oh God, along the process. We pray for, Father, mercy, your grace, your divine intervention upon our land and our nation. Lord, break through powerfully, Father, we pray, oh God, and to bring change and transformation to our land and our nation, that Malaysia will never be the same again, Father, we pray. Together this morning, we're going to raise, oh God, the banner of yours over this land of Malaysia, asking, Father, for divine visitation, asking for divine intervention, asking for mercy, for grace, oh God. Save Malaysia and draw Malaysia into your divine purpose and destiny, Father, we pray. So together, we continue to celebrate your goodness upon us all. Help us to be vigilant. Help us to play our part well, Father, not just in the voting process only, Father. Play our part, oh God, in whatever area that is needful to ensure this election be free, will be fair, will be won, Father, whereby, oh God, your divine purpose, oh God, will take place, Father. We pray, oh God, even after the elections, even, oh Lord Jesus Christ, the formation of the federal and state cabinets, our Father, we pray. Lord, intervene, Father, we pray, that men and women who have the true fear of yours from whatever religious ethnic background, Father, we pray that this will be elected and that some of these will form, oh God, part of the federal and state cabinets. We're going to pray, Father, these men and women will be there to serve, oh God, the interests of the nation and the people of the nation, Father, we pray. Oh, Jesus Christ, oh God, speak to them, challenge them, convict them, oh God, where their selfish interests is involved, Father, we pray, so that truly, oh God, we see, Father, a new day and a new dawn coming upon our land, Malaysia, all over again. Lord, have mercy upon us. Hear our prayers, our Father, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, God's wonderful people say, amen. Give a prayer, clap offering to the Lord, would you? Let's remain standing. We're going to read passages of scripture together. All right? We're going to read from Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 21. Okay, this whole area, as we know, on the day of Pentecost, is exactly what Apostle Peter said about signs and wonders. Come together, church, let's read. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our Father, we pray, O God, you'll take your word and speak and challenge us and draw us in response. Our Father, we ask, O God, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen. Would you take our seats? Friends, signs and wonders. One lady brought her husband to the shopping mall and tells her husband, you only need to sign, I will perform all the wonders for you. Smart lady, isn't it? Another lady said, darling, you just need to blindly sign. I will perform brilliant wonders in your eyes like this. But friends, you know, signs and wonders we see as trophies of God's grace, as I said just now, in the lives of the children and some of these adults. Friends, it's a testimony of the hand of God at work in a powerful way upon Watoto Church. The church started in the early 80s when actually God spoke to Pastor Gary Skinner and his wife, Pastor Marilyn Skinner. Both of them are working in Southern Africa, right? Not in Uganda. But God spoke to them to move to Uganda and to start a church there. But you know what? It wasn't easy for them to do so. Why? Because Uganda was falling apart in terms of law and order. So it has become a very dangerous place to go to. And yet when God spoke, they had no choice but to obey God, and they stepped in. And when they moved into Uganda, you know what, friends? The U.S. ambassador to Uganda pulled them aside personally and talked to them. You are fools to come here to Uganda. You know what is happening. You know law and order, and everything else is falling apart. You are endangering your life, you're irresponsible parents to your young children. How can you do this kind of stuff? But friends, they have no choice but to tell them that it is not because we want to come. It is because God has spoken. If God has spoken, how can we not come at all? Soon after they settled in, friends, gunmen came with rifles and machete and wanted to rob them, ask them for money and everything else. They said, we have no money. We've got nothing, actually. And you know what? In the ding-dong, because they're not able to give and cooperate, the gunman actually cocked the rifle. Clicked. It did not work. Clicked again. It did not work. They were stunned because it has never happened at all in all the kidnappings across Uganda. They tried again. It did not work. Finally, they said, who are you, by the way? You must be Christians. You know what? Pastor Gary said, we are not only Christians, we are actually pastors. The moment they heard that, they dashed off, they ran away. Friends, this is the grace of God at work in protecting them, not just once, but twice in their lives, in their work and ministry in Uganda, right, over the years like this. In fact, what happened to your young children, their youngest child at the time, it was about 5, 6 years old, slipped under the table while they were actually having a meal together. And so what happens, the little son was listening to a conversation, right, between the kidnappers who came together with Gary and Marilyn Skinner, who are personal friends of mine. And what happens at the end, when they ran off, okay, the son appeared from under the table, because they didn't realize the little son was there, because they all tied their hands up. And so therefore, Gary asked the son, what were you thinking about? Okay, the conversation went on, you know, our lives were at stake, we could have been killed. You know what the son said, I was only thinking of calling grandpa from Canada to come and take me home to Great Canada. What a lovely place to live ever after. But friends, you know, we find because of men and women like this who are prepared to take risks for the Lord. And that's what has happened today in Kampala, Uganda, of Watoto Church, a church for 25,000 people. That is not only impacting, Father, we pray, friends, you know, what have not only impacting Uganda, but impacted across Africa, impacted across the world. This choir that we hear them sing, for the last 6 months they've been traveling. But friends, it is not just coming to sing and perform and so on and so forth. Friends, these are school kids. They got lessons to do. Right? So during weekdays, okay, in the daytime, they got homework and assignments to fulfill. You know, they have to submit all their lessons in, that kind of thing. And some of the adults who are here, right, with them, they're actually the teachers, the coach, and so many, many things, friends. They got things to fulfill as they involve in performing in the last 6 months traveling across this part of the world. And so many teams have gone around the world. They have sung before kings and presidents and queens and so on and so forth, beside very ordinary people like you and me. Hello, say something to encourage yourself, isn't it? Right now, besides very ordinary people like you and me, imagine, friends, they sang before very dignified audience and so on and so forth, and everything else they have been. And yet, friends, in the simplicity and the grace of God, they can all testify because God has done an amazing sign and wonder and miracle in their lives. And that's what God wants to do, friends, in all our lives. What is it for these children, for example? There's a real sense of clarity and confidence in their lives. Why is it, friends, for these children whom we know many of these were abandoned, many of these were actually left by the roadside, many of these were actually left in a garbage dump. They were picked up literally from that kind of background, nursed to health, and then begin to be nurtured in a wonderful, given a hope and a future. Why are these people doing this? For no other reason, because of the love for Jesus. Can I get amen for that? Is it? It's because out of the love for Jesus, out of the fact that lives have been so deeply and wonderfully touched, they want to reach out to do the same to these kids. Because why? No one should be denied, okay, a future and a hope in their lives. Amen, isn't it? No one in this world should be denied that, okay, that hope in the future that is so important. And that's the reason why, friends, you know, this young girl just now quoted a verse which actually I want to use, okay, as a backdrop to preach and to talk on. She quoted actually from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where she said, if you remember, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if anyone is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation, a new person altogether. The old has gone and the new has come. And that's what it is, friends, for all of us. Because in Jesus Christ, we've become new. We've discovered our identity. We've discovered about who we really are and designed by God to be. And that's so important. You see, friends, I ask sometimes CEOs of companies, who are you? They say, don't you know who I am? I'm the CEO of this wonderful company. I said, no, that's not my question. Who are you? And the other one said, do you know who I am? I'm the second richest man in the country. I said, sorry, that's not my question. Who are you? I am Tan Sri so-and-so. That's not my question. I am this, I am that, I'm the other. That's not my question. You see, friends, who we are is not determined by our position, our power, our fame, our fortune, our success, and so on and so forth. Even by the cars we drive in. That's not who we are. But that's how, friends, people in the world think who they are. Because of the company they mix with, because of the certain kind of clubs, exclusive clubs they belong to. That's what make them who they are. Friends, it's not true. Because why? All this will go away one day. Isn't it? All this will go away one day. And all those who agree, say, isn't it? They will go away one day. Isn't it? Therefore, who are you? And that's why I say to some of these who are very successful in their lives, who are not yet Christians, I say to them, you know, I pray by God's grace that, you know, that you are not, when you lie there in the hospital bed, in the death bed, with tubes running all over the body, with all your multi-millions and multi-billions stashed away, suddenly it hits you. My goodness, is that how I'm going to die? What's the meaning? With all my millions stashed away, with tubes running all over the body, and boom, and then I'm going to die. And that's all that is. What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose? Why am I here? Where am I going? And I said to them, I pray by God's grace that it will not hit you on the deathbed only, that you begin to ask, who am I, by the way? Who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? Where am I going? And where do I belong at the heart of it? And that's the reason why, friends, can I say, in a Christian faith, it answers all of this very fundamental philosophical questions that we will all ask. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Where do I belong? And finally, friends, is there worth or significance or value in life? In fact, just three nights ago, I was at the International Islamic University. At this international, there's an interfaith dialogue. And so there's a Buddhist leader, a Muslim leader, plus myself, a Christian leader, interacting, moderated by a student from International Islamic University, brilliant guy. Everything all done in English. By the way, IU gives all the lectures in English. Everything is all done in English because they attract international students from all over the world. And so therefore, what happens is that, okay, I weave in because why? The question is religion relevant today? Is it practical or impractical? Why are there so many rules and regulations in religion? All right? And I say it's true. In all religions, there are many rules and regulations, this to follow, that to follow, and so forth like this. And therefore, I say, you know, in a Christian faith, there are 613 laws that Moses has put together, right, that you and I need to follow. But the amazing thing is this, friends. Jesus Christ boils it down to just two. Because when Jesus was asked, of all the commandments and the laws, which one is the greatest? Which one is the most important? Jesus boils down just only to two. And Jesus says there, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? He just boils down to two. And the response of this is out of love. It's not our compulsion to do, but out of love, we want to love him. All right? And then love people around us like this, isn't it? And then I said, you know what? Friends, to love this God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we must know him first before we can love him, isn't it? Because we cannot love someone we don't know. Hello? And all the husbands say? Okay, not very convincing. Amen. And all the wives say? Amen. My goodness. Our husband need to repent, isn't it? Now, we love each other. Why? Because we know each other. The more you know each other, the more we know each other, I trust the more we love each other. Okay, not very sure now. Okay, isn't it? And so therefore, friends, love is premised on knowledge, isn't it? Before we can love someone, you must know someone. Otherwise, right, it is out of context. It doesn't make sense to love someone. And so you know what? This is where I weaved in, right? Jesus says, love this God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Therefore, to love him, you must know him. And how can you know him? I tell the whole audience, most of them Muslims, four steps involved in knowing this God. Firstly, acknowledge you're a sinner. Secondly, believe Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. Thirdly, ask him to forgive your sins. Fourthly, invite Jesus to life as Lord and Savior. Is it clear? It's clear. I almost want to give an altar call after that. What a fantastic opportunity for me to share, to talk about the gospel and weave all this kind of stuff in like this, okay? And then it wonders of the trouble, evil in this world, and why there are sufferings in this world. What an opportunity, friends, to declare the grace of God at the end. And then finally, okay, almost 11 o'clock after Q&A, the chairman, I pushed him to wrap it up. And finally, he wrapped it up. And he said, no, the whole panelists, okay, each one say something if you have something to say. When it came to my turn, finally, I said, fantastic. This is what I'm going to say. I said, you know, there are two things we all human beings look for, where we human beings desire. Firstly, all of us human beings, we're always looking for truth. Amen? We're always looking for truth. Secondly, we all want peace. We're all looking for truth, and we all want peace. So therefore, I said to them, you know what? Where is truth to be found? Truth is not to be found in a set of beliefs. Truth is found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ himself who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I said to the whole audience, you know what? There is no other person, no other religious leaders who say that except Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, that I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. And therefore, I say, you know what? When Jesus Christ makes that claim, he opens himself for examination. He's fearless to say, here I am. This is really audacious, right? Very bold claim. Examine me, study me, look at me as to who I am. And it is exactly what happens, friends, to Nabil Qureshi, an associate of Dr. Ravi Zacharias' ministry. All right, he passed away right not too long ago, sadly, at a young age of 34. He has written a few books. Read his book, for example, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. Read that book. It's one of the New York Times bestsellers. So it will really encourage you, challenge you. Right? And so he himself, very devout Muslim, had to come to a point whereby he's been challenged about his faith, all right, his Islamic faith. And therefore, one day he came before God and he said to God, God, if you are true, if you are real, show yourself to me. Bang, eventually the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself that he is the truth, the way, and the life. And so therefore, that's my invitation to the audience. Look at him, study him, challenge him, and say, Jesus, if you're the truth, show it to me. And friends, can I assure you, he will in no uncertain terms show to you who he is like this. And so we are all looking for truth, and truth is only found in Jesus Christ and no one else. Second, we are all looking for peace in life, isn't it? And what did Jesus say about himself? He is, we all know, the Prince of Peace. He offers true peace, genuine peace, and everlasting peace. So Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you, isn't it? And so I said to them at the end, friends, truth and peace we are looking for, it is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. I feel like giving another altar call again after that, isn't it? What an opportunity like this. But friends, that's the reality for it all. That's why these Watoto kids, together with the adults, that okay, worked so hard to make this presentation like this. Why? Because they declare to all of us, signs and wonders and miracles take place, still take place today, and it takes place all the time. If we're willing to open our hearts to consider the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is who Jesus Christ is. That Jesus has come into every heart, every life, has changed and has transformed and has made them to be something new. And that's what, friends, we're all looking for. Who am I really? Friends, I am who I am, not because of the position I occupy, the power I have, the fame and the fortune I possess. None of this, friends, makes who I am. All this do not give us true identity. Real, genuine identity is found in Jesus Christ because, again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You see, this is an amazing thing from all of us, friends. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, friends, we are safe and secure. And once, friends, once when we find identity in Christ, you know what, friends? It gives us dignity. Why does it give us dignity when we discover identity? Because it does not matter the kind of job I hold, the kind of power I have, the kind of fame and fortune that I have. It does not matter anymore. That whether I drive a big car or a small car, it doesn't affect me anymore. Hello, are you there, isn't it? That, for example, you may drive, as I said before, you may drive a SLK to church. Another guy also drives a SLK to church and park next to yours. Just that this guy who drives SLK to church is a Mercedes-Benz SLK, whereas your SLK is a small little Gangchil or a small little Kia, isn't it? And a guy gets up from a car and you discover that guy is actually your classmate and not so smart. And then in your heart, you say to God, it's unfair. How can this guy, not so smart at all in my class, drive such a wonderful car, whereas I drive this kind of car, like this? And so sometimes we are unhappy, maybe even upset with God like this. But why do we have to define our identity in terms of the car I drive, isn't it? It's crazy. It is crippling. It is enslaving, isn't it? Define ourselves like this. But if that guy wants to exchange a car with you, take la, no need to pray one. Hello, are you there? If you feel guilty, pass them to me. I know what to do with your car, isn't it? But friends, it's very, very important, right? Because in Christ, it is independent of power, position, job, recognition I have by people outside. That in Christ, there's true identity. Not only that, it gives me dignity. It gives me true dignity. Whatever job I hold, it does not matter. As long as I know, I will give myself fully in serving God and serving Him well. Give an example, which I may have quoted before. A few years ago, Doris and I, we were in South Africa. By the way, I'll be going back to Nepal again tomorrow, okay? And bringing a whole group of, all together, 16 of us, okay? Businessmen, all from UMC, from whatever other seas he belongs to, doesn't matter, okay? And we're going together, all right? This wonderfully wealthy businessman. Take them along. I'm going to squeeze all the pockets dry and empty the pockets there in Nepal. Why? Because God, if God has blessed us so much, make it a blessing to other people, lah. Hello? Okay? Say to your neighbor, pastor talking about you. Isn't it? We've all been so wonderfully blessed, isn't it? Make ourselves a blessing to people. So we're going to explore social enterprise. Start business projects, okay? Whatever business project, to look at it and to see how best to craft it out so that it will, of course, on one hand, it must be income generating, it must be making profits, because why? Every Christian who runs a business always makes profits. Not very convincing here. Every Christian who runs a business always makes profits, okay? But more importantly, make profits in a righteous manner. Hello? In an upright, in a non-corrupt manner, but must make profits, because if you don't make profits, losing money all the time, you should get up from business, because the gifting, anointing from God is not upon you to be involved in business, you see. And so therefore, to go and explore and how best we can really be a blessing to the people in Nepal, and so important in this whole area, social enterprise like this for all of us, you see. And so pray for us, friends, as we go for a whole week coming back next Sunday night, okay, for this. But friends, you know, for you and I, therefore, as we travel in South Africa, for example, I walked into the toilet, and there was this black South African cleaner cleaning the toilet. And he said to me, "Welcome, sir, to my office." I was really very impressed. Why? Because, friends, where I work is my office. I so happen to work in the toilet. Amen? You got problem? Malaysian Singaporeans? I've got no problem at all. Because where I work is my office. Not only that, I'm proud about my work as a toilet cleaner. Hello, are you there? That's what it is for you and I, friends. As Christians, once we come to faith in Christ, we discover identity. Identity in Christ therefore gives us dignity, so that whatever job I do, whatever job I hold, if I give my heart and my mind and serve my heart or my mind out, that honors God, that glorifies God. Hello, are you there? Isn't it? So it frees us from the bondage of the world, that you expect to be this kind of people holding these kind of jobs. When sometimes God's design is not for us to hold those kind of jobs and positions, isn't it? So it does not matter whatever we are. We can give our heart out to serve. And friends, you know, once we discover identity, which is fully and wonderfully known in Christ, we discover dignity and worth and value in life. And that's where, friends, it gives you an insecurity. We are truly secure in our lives, isn't it? We're not intimidated by so-called titled, big-powered people. We are not, isn't it? Why? Because in Christ, there's security, there is safety, there is really a sense of quietness and peace and confidence. Not only, friends, we find it in Christ, we discover identity, that in Christ, therefore, we have dignity, that in Christ, friends, you know what? We've got a destiny to fulfill, isn't it? God wants us to fulfill a design and purpose of His. And therefore, friends, like these kids, like this, for example, as they come to faith in Christ, they are taught, they are trained. You notice, friends, they are clear about the destiny that God has designed for them to be. So some of them said, I want to be a pilot, I want to be an engineer, a doctor, a teacher, okay, a secretary, a professional, a footballer, and so on. So whatever it may be, it does not matter, isn't it? Whatever it is, we find we discover our worth and our value in what God has designed us to be. And that's so important, isn't it? It frees us to be the kind of person that God wants you and I to be. Give an example, friends. There's an American family, and they were visiting Watoto in Kampala, Uganda. And this American family, all right, the men and women, brought their 12-year-old son along just to expose him and see what is it like, that kind of thing. And so therefore, they were taken around, okay, to visit Watoto and a wonderful work and ministry there. And what happens is a 10-year-old Watoto boy asked a 12-year-old American boy, what do you want to be one day? What is your dream? The American boy said, I don't know. You know what? The 10-year-old Watoto boy told him, how can you not have a dream? You must know what you want to be. How can you not know what you want to be? Okay? And so the 10-year-old Watoto boy gave him a nice, wonderful, okay, all right, shelling, as it were, to teach him, to tell him, all right, you must have a dream and a vision in your life, and that's so important, isn't it? And so for people, anyone here, if you know dream, you come to the right place, right? This place called Dream Center. We help you dream dreams. Hello, are you there? Isn't it? All right, that's very important. I tell young working adults, I ask them, young working adults, what's your dream in life? All right, what's your vision? What's your dream in life? Why do I say to them this? I say, by your dream, I can tell you your future. By your dream, I can tell your future. If you know dream, I'm troubled. All right, therefore, come to Dream Center, okay, and dream as many dreams as you want, because all dreams are free of charge. Hello, are you there? So we help you dream dreams so that by the grace of God, under the direction of God, you and I will be able to fulfill the dreams that God has given to us. That's why this place is called a Dream Center, isn't it? That all are welcome indeed to this place to discover your dream in life and what God has designed and planned and purpose for you. But friends, you know, what happens is that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we discover our true identity, because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, all has gone, new has come. A wonderful identity, and therefore it gives us dignity. Whatever job I hold, whatever I'm involved in, it gives me real worth and value in life. It gives me destiny, a sense of direction. Where do I go? Where do I belong? Therefore, like, in the wonderful. But friends, fourth and finally, it gives me community. Why? Because when we come to faith in Christ, we belong to the community of God's people. Hello, are you there? And that's the most wonderful thing that can happen to any one of us in our lives. You know that? To know that anywhere, everywhere we go, we belong. The worst thing, as you notice here, the stories of some of these people on the screen just now. The woman, all right, in the early years, don't feel belong anywhere. And when they were told about Living Hope, when she stepped into Living Hope, she was so loved and embraced, and she knew this is where she belongs. This is where her community is. And that's so very, very important for you and I, isn't it? And that's what God wants to do, friends, because we've been touched by the love of God. Anywhere and everywhere, we must reach out to share and draw as many people in as possible, isn't it, to belong to this family of God, to belong to the community of the people of God. And it's so, so important, isn't it? All right, very, very important. Finally, let me wrap it up. All right, in this climb, okay, to Annapurna Base Camp with Matthew, what a joy, what a delight, what a blessing, father and son bonding time like this together, okay? And the best part of all, he pays it all. I just follow, okay? That's the best part of it, isn't it, Matthew? Thank you so much indeed. And so what happens? Then I realize, okay, in climbing, my goodness, 6 days to climb up, 3 days to climb down, okay, which I didn't succeed in climbing because my knees were so badly injured, actually, that I really struggled. And thank God Matthew stopped me from wanting to push on further all the way down, okay, like this. And he stopped me, almost wanted to arm wrestle me and handcuff me and that kind of thing. He said, "Dad, better call for a helicopter to come." That's the best way to come down the hill. Hello? Isn't it? All right. And so what happens is I tell the Nepalese, why you design, okay, a course like this, a trail like this? Why? Because Mount Annapurna Base Camp is about the same height as Mount Kinabalu, isn't it? All right. 4,130 meters. Mount Kinabalu is about 4,000 meters. It's just about slightly higher in the case of Annapurna Base Camp. I said, we Malaysians so clever. Why? Because same height, same mountain, one day up, one day down, Gautim, everything all over. I said, my goodness, your mountain, 6 days up and 3 days down. This is punishing. And it's not just all the way. It's up and down, up and down, up. You go 3,200 meters, and you come to 2,100 meters, and you go out there. Not clever. I said, be like Malaysians, lah. We help you to design, okay, your trail like this, isn't it? And so, friends, you know, as we go up 6 days, okay, I've tried to be praying like crazy for opportunity to share, okay? And so, Lord, is the trip going to be over? No chance at all to share Jesus. How can it be? Although I've been witnessing to as many as possible, that kind of thing. Lord, help me, have mercy, Lord. I want to be fruitful. I want to be meaningful, up and down. That's all that is. My goodness, what is it? And then on the way down, okay, what happens is we stop at 2,100 meters. And Matt says that, don't carry on, okay? And because we stopped there that night, there was no pre-accommodation booked. And because of limited places to stay, we have to share a room, okay? And so in a room, six of us were bunked in, into the room. So Matthew and me, all right, and it is all not same-sex anymore, okay? You have no choice, okay? All right? And so what happens in my room, there's a Nepalese couple, young Nepalese couple, and there are two girls from Shanghai, China, also bunked in, and we sleep together. Not sleep together, we share the room together. Now language has been so refined, you know what I mean? All right? And imagine, if you dare to sleep with a pastor, you're in trouble. No, I mean, share room with a pastor. And so therefore, that night, in fact, I talked and shared with this Nepalese couple. And interesting, this young Nepalese couple, both engineers, all right? And said, we see something different in you. What is it so different? You take time with people, you talk with people, you interact with people, you pay attention to people, blah, 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 kind of thing. I said, wow, got business to do now. Okay. Shared talk that evening. I said, actually, I'm a Christian, not a Christian, I'm a pastor. Okay, I'm a pastor. You know, and you know what, friends, I want to let you know, it is no accident out of 7 billion people put you in a share room with a pastor, you know, share talk, that kind of thing. Anyway, all right, I didn't want to push further, that kind of thing, so we went to bed. But, all right, soon after they fell asleep, there's a phone call that came for them, okay? And what happens, a phone call, the owner of the guest house passed the phone, right, to them, and she, okay, the girl, Kanjan, picked up the call and talked, and I know she was very flustered, very disturbed by the call. So I thought maybe it came from her parents or something has happened and so on and so forth. So I could see it is disturbed their sleep. Okay. So next morning, we go, hi, good morning, good, okay. And so, all right, I walked up towards both of them. I said, Kanchan, sounds like last night you got a call that is disturbing, isn't it? Is it from your parents? Actually, it's from a good friend of mine. My friend is really in trouble, that kind of thing, and just been trying to call me, eventually managed to get through to me, and telling me, could you please come as soon as possible? And Kanchan had to say to this friend, you know, I'm up on a mountain, I will rush down as soon as I can, but I'm up on a mountain, that kind of thing. Talk. I said, you know what, Minis and Kanchan, you know, appreciate, can I pray for both of you? Okay, because I believe, you know, God has put a pastor specially designed by God to just pray for you like this. Okay, he makes no mistakes. So, all right, is it okay? He said, yeah, sure, I want to pray for you. But friends, before I pray for you, no pressure, but always great pleasure. Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You know what? It's okay. Just like that. Just right there. Turn to the girl and minister to, all right, Kanjan, and said, would you like to? Yeah, sure. What a joy. What a privilege to lead them to faith in Christ and to pray for them and to pray God's blessings upon them and to pray that when they go back to Kathmandu, where they both work as engineers, they'll be full up and so on and so forth, taking them to grow in faith in Lord Jesus, find God real and powerfully. And the amazing thing is this, is Mines himself studied his master's in engineering in China. So therefore, I was listening to his conversation to these two Chinese girls from Shanghai, talking in Mandarin. I said, wow, my goodness, this Nepali Chiku, very, very clever, okay? As I hear that kind of thing, because I pretend not to understand Mandarin at all, okay, in the process with them. And then as I was praying for them, leading the faith in Christ, the two Chinese girls walked in. They're both in the mid-30s. They walked in. They saw, all right, me praying. And then they stepped outside. They waited for a while. And then after that, okay, as they're walking, they said, the Chinese girl, so the other Chinese girl, 很像她是基督徒来的. And so when she came, I said, 不是基督徒罢了, 牧师啊. That not a Christian you meet, a pastor you meet. You are in serious trouble now. Again, you know, all right, okay, all right, very, very, okay, Jean, all right, okay, what happens is both of you designed by God to share room with a pastor, okay? So it's about time also. In God's economy and wonderful design, better than what Toto, what God is going to witness, you're going to witness the grace, mercies of God that God wants to do in your lives. So, you know, would you like to, no pressure again, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? They said, okay, yeah, sure, of course. And what a joy to lead them both to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it? All right. I was almost trying to lead them in Mandarin, okay? But for the moment, I held back for a while, okay? But friends, you know what? In China a few years ago, in the 14 days Doris and I were there, I led 13 Chinese to Christ in Mandarin some more. Wow, say to your neighbor, his Mandarin not bad. You say, okay, so I led them to play Mandarin, okay, there in China. And halfway through, some of the Mandarin words I said, they could not understand, they stopped. Okay, they wonder, what is he saying, by the way? It's so small. I say, it doesn't matter. You may not know, but God knows. Hello? Okay, which is important, isn't it? Because why God looks at the heart, isn't it? And so, friends, whatever language, just go ahead and pray. Hello, are you there? Just be thick-skinned for Jesus. Amen. Say to your neighbor, be thick-skinned for Jesus. Amen. It's very important. So, friends, I led people to faith in Christ, not just in English. I led people to faith in Christ in Mandarin, in Bahasa, even in Fu Chao some more. Wow, isn't it? All right, why? Because I pray for that guy. Because I asked Dr. Ling Shi Gang, you're Fu Chao, you pray for him. All right, in Fu Chao. Hey, cannot. What to do? I have to pray for him in Fu Chao. You know what? Halfway through my prayer, he started to cry. You know what? I became so impressed with my Fu Chao. All right, I pray for this old man in Hokkien because why? The son leaned over because he came forward to accept Jesus. The son leaned over before I pray for the father to accept Jesus. The son leaned over and said, Pastor, you know, my father only understands Hokkien. I said, Cham, how to say? Okay, I marshal all my limited Hokkien and start praying for the father in Hokkien somehow. You know what? Right? Instead of the father crying, the son started to cry now this time, you know, friend. And that's what God wants to do for all of us, friends. He wants to go deep in you and I to know that when we encounter God in Jesus Christ, friends, you discover new identity, a new dignity, a new destiny. But most of all, friends, a wonderful community of God's people that you and I can be part of. And this invitation for you and me, friends, this morning and this afternoon now. Let us pray.